Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're at part 85 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This, if you have a paper, pencil, or pen near you, you can jot this down. This is program number 187, and that's what you'll be asking for if you'd like to have a copy. And Sharon, at the end of the program, will tell you how to receive the program four different ways. And remember, everything that you receive from this broadcast or from our church is absolutely free. If you order a Bible, a program, or former programs, literature, it's absolutely free. And the reason for that, I know you're supposed to pay tithes and everything, but I do this because I will not sell messages, I will not sell Bibles, I will not sell tapes. Well, you do have to tithe, I don't sell any of these things because there's a lot of people that don't have any money. And not only that, God never charged me anything for salvation. He paid the price for my salvation. And, of course, so that therefore I don't charge either. I would feel I believe that God would get really angry at me if I charged for the dispensing of His Word. But we have some letters, and it's an amazing. All the letters are from the United States, with the exception of the one from Venezuela. And then we have a testimonial from the state of Montana. We have a witnessing crew out there, as well as many hundreds of other places. But they have a pretty good letter here, or an email. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to anoint this program. Lord, You know that I can do nothing without You. I can do nothing without the Spirit. I can do no supernatural thing without the Holy Spirit. Your Word is Spirit and it is life. And Lord, I ask that You speak through me, because I really don't want to say anything on this program tonight. I want it to be strictly You. I ask, Lord, that it be You, that there is no words that will come out of my mouth that are not coming from You. Only You, Lord, have the work. It is Your work, and we are just people who are to be instruments in Your hands for the very purpose that You came into this world, and that is to save sinners, that they can become saints, that they can be vessels that You, Christ, live in with Your Father by the Spirit, to appropriate a bride, to put together one bride, which is a combination of many millions of people that have Your Spirit living in them, that become the corporate, a corporation, one corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein lives the Spirit of God, and we live in You. We are purchased by You, and therefore we need to be consecrated to You. Consecration means that we give ourselves to You as a gift. You gave Yourself to us, and therefore it's our reasonable duty to surrender our entire life over to You. You paid the price, and there is a straight and narrow path that only we can walk. We only can walk that walk if You are the one walking it in us. It's impossible for human flesh. It is impossible for carnality, or natural flesh to enter the kingdom of God. It's absolutely impossible. We must put the super onto the natural in order to be able to enter into the supernatural kingdom of God. Heaven is going to be destroyed, and there's a new world coming. We know of the old world that was drowned because of sin, and this present world is going to be set on fire because of sin. But the future world that's coming is a world wherein no sin shall dwell. And therefore, the only way that people can get into that kingdom is to be sin-free. Sin is off-limits in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. Therefore, we need your power, the very power that keeps, that has created everything in the world, in the heavens, and the very power that keeps the world, this planet, spinning around in perfect order. What makes this world go around? Only your power, Lord, and your power, your power is the power of our salvation. We can be saved, and we can stay saved if we walk in your Spirit. There is, your word plainly tells us, it's very easy to read, that there's no condemnation to those who walk not in the natural, but in the supernatural, that walk in your supernatural Spirit, that have the Spirit of the Almighty God in them, that have Christ with his Father by the Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living and working in and through us. You tell us that you took the cross throughout your entire life, and you expect us to pick up the cross and do the same thing, deny ourselves. There's all kinds of temptations, but we have to deny them if we want to make it into heaven. And we, because into the new world is coming. And the new world will not be destroyed by sin. The first world was destroyed by sin, and the second world was destroyed by sin. But the third world, the new world is coming. These people here talk about the new world order. But the real new world is the one that's coming, and it's coming very soon. And Lord, we know that if we do your will, if we humble ourselves before the cross and leave our former life there and let ourselves be slain on the cross, and then let you, by your Spirit, enter us and resurrect us from the dead life, which is the first resurrection, that we become the incarnation, the present incarnation of you here on earth. You are incarnate here, and we're the new incarnation, the continuation of your living here on earth in human flesh. And this is the way that people's souls are saved. And Lord, I already feel you making that clear through my mouth this evening. I thank you for that, Lord. I get so many letters stating that they understand the scriptures by the way, because I'm consecrated unto you. I've delivered my entire life into your hands, and because of that you make the word clear through me, but it's you that's doing it. The words that I speak are not mine own, any more than the words that Jesus spoke were his own. But the words I speak are the Father's. And the words I speak are spirit and life. And the words I speak are felt in the hearts and souls of human beings that you created. Because the very Creator, you as the Creator, the creation understands when God is speaking to them, and that's why people can understand that the Lord is speaking, that you are speaking to them through me. Lord, I know that because of this, that souls will be saved, and I know for sure that the church is being edified. But nevertheless, I ask it in the name of Jesus, the holy, precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Where's the first letter from?
From Covington, Georgia.
Okay.
Pastor Lomo, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am greeting you. Thank you very much for your ministries, which is a great subject of spiritual blessing for me and the ministry we started 1 year ago here in Atlanta, Georgia. People are getting saved through the literature and Messiah books you have sent us. I heard about your ministries through the radio, and since then I realized that you are the man of God. That's why at least twice I wrote to you. God bless you and your ministries so that many souls continue to be saved. To finish, I would like to let you know that I speak also French and Swahili, and if you need my help to translate your literature or books, I'm available. God bless you, and praise be to our Almighty God, Pastor Pierre from Covington, Georgia.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'd love to have you, because every piece of literature that I've written, and there's a lot of it, we need to translate into every language, and it's extremely expensive when we hire people from the United Nations or elsewhere. They want lots of money for that, and I appreciate your offer. And any time that you'd like to do this, I just need for our tract room and our shipping room to let me know, in our print shop, to let me know what tracts, what pieces of literature have not yet been printed in Swahili, and is that what it is, Swahili?
Yes.
And also French. And let's get them to this brother that he can begin translating them immediately. And I praise and thank the Lord for this open door. And everyone in the church should praise and thank the Lord for this open door as well.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for you, brother. Okay, the next letter?
It's from Zulia, Venezuela. Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, today I received 3 t-shirts and the literature. Thank you very much. Dear Pastor, I am so thankful. This work is going very well. Your literature is being received enthusiastically, and many are giving their lives to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, thanks to your literature. It is so good and clear. Many are asking for Bibles because they are so expensive over here. If you could send me more, my country would be very thankful. There is such a growth.
We've already sent it. Amen.
Amen.
The minute these come in, they have the packing room has the orders to get them out immediately. These are zealous people that want to distribute the literature. And it doesn't really make any difference what church you belong to. If you'd like to get a blessing, you know, any work that I know that's of the Lord, I help them out because I want a blessing from their work. There's several of them, and you can receive blessings, the same blessings we receive, by being a distributor, to distribute the literature in your area. I could care less what church you're in. If you want to distribute the soul-winning literature, just write in for it, and we'll give it to you, and we'll give you a t-shirt to boot, or if you're a big distributor, we'll give you 3 or 4 t-shirts, so that when one is in the wash, the other one can be on your body. Amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord for you. We'll send you tapes, Bibles, literature, CDs, whatever. Okay, well then what else?
There is such a growth here. Thank you, God. I will be waiting for your reply. Blessings. Beloved, would you please send me audio message tapes, especially the book of Samuel in Spanish?
Well, you know, the Lord says that he's going to do a quick work in these last days. I know that the Lord is standing right at the door, ready to come back. And so, and of course, the disasters are going to happen in rapid succession, the tribulations. And you'll see, there's not going to be anybody delivered out of the tribulations, except those who die, in a car wreck or natural death. But the Bible says that the Lord's coming back immediately after the tribulations to take us away. Okay, and anything else on this letter?
Just signed Williams from Zulia, Venezuela.
Praise the Lord for you, brother. We've already got your things packed and sent. Then what?
And the next letter's from East Moline, Illinois. Dear
Moline.
East Moline.
Moline, yes. I can see that you've not been there before. Okay, what else?
Dear Pastor Alamo, I've been reading philosophy since the age of 5. When I was 8 years old, I read Schopenhauer's World as Will as Representation. By the age of 10, I had read Kant's Critique of Pure Reason. By the time I reached puberty, I had read Nietzsche's A Genealogy of Morals and The Antichrist. Little did I know that Satan was building an intellectual highway for me, heading straight to hell. By the time I enrolled as a student at the University of Michigan, I had crawled so deep inside the tunnel of Hades that I could feel its fire burn the flesh off my bosom. By this time, I was firmly under the thumb of the devil. I went on to read Marx's The Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital, along with Bakunin's God and the State. Satan was telling me to reject God's word and become a revolutionary communist. I joined Chairman Bob Avakian's Revolutionary Communist Party, RCP.
There's so many people that have studied all these satanic books, and you can see them on television, you see them in the Vatican, you see them in false religions all over the world, and you can see them in the news media, in the government, everywhere. And but thank God, it sounds like this person is going to tell us that they pulled up and out of because they got one of my pieces of literature. That's powerful.
Amen.
Amen. Let's hear the more. I can't wait to hear.
I rose quickly to the ranks of vice premier of the RCP, Ann Arbor Politburo. I must admit I was a good little comrade for Satan. I fell into Beelzebub's hell chamber after I read Sartre's atheistic communist existentialist tome, Being and Nothingness, and Camus's dark anti-Christian saga, The Stranger. I was riding Satan's escalator down into the bowels of the eternal garden of hellfire and damnation.
The only thing is there's no garden down there.
Amen.
Okay, then what? Just pillars and sheets of fire and people burning and screaming and just seemingly melting, just like everything else. All right, that's going to burn up. Then what?
I finally succumbed to the will of Satan after watching a pornographic movie starring Church of Satan founder Anton LaVey. It might have been his devil's horns, it might have been his angular Van Dyke beard, but whatever it was, it really turned me on. I read the Satanic Bible, and I soon became a member of the Church of Satan. I was no longer a mere godless communist, I was now a God-hating communist. I was now a full-fledged Satanic communist agitator and troublemaker.
See, these people that wrote all those books, they have written them for people that are infatuated with knowledge. And that's why you see so many antichrist, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible in this world today. They read it and they don't know that their souls are on their way to hell. How could anybody be against the Creator, the one who came into this world and gave them an escape from hell and the lake of fire, and they just keep hating him? They are the most wicked people on the face of this earth, and I know that's why God is going to allow them to scream their heads off in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. All right, keep going.
I was booted out of the RCP once Chairman Avakian discovered my relationship with the Church of Satan. I was dumbfounded by Chairman Bob's decision, but it appears that communists are both godless and Satanless. I still maintained my godless Marxist views until I discovered that Satanists are not egalitarians, but rather extreme individualists. So I ditched Marxism in favor of objectivism. And ever since, I have maintained a seat on the Church of Satan Board of Trustees. It wasn't until I arrived in Los Angeles last week for a board meeting that I finally saw a stream of light peeking out of the darkness. As I was leaving the hotel to hear Dr. Herman von Bloch speak at a COS luncheon, I noticed a pamphlet under my bed right next to my socks.
And this pamphlet was one of my pieces of literature. Then what?
It was like some divine intervention. For lying beside my feet, lo and behold, was the word of the Lord Almighty. My life was changed forever, for I was now walking on the golden path of Jesus, and I have only you, Holy Tony Alamo, to thank. God bless you, your late wife, God bless her soul, and that fabulous head of hair you have. Praise Jesus, amen, and best wishes, Don, from East Moline, Illinois.
Okay, yes, I guess I am a little fabulous, right, with my hair. No, it's thinned out quite a bit down through the years. She must have saw one of the old pieces of literature. I hope I don't disappoint you when you see me. Now, we have a report from Billings, Montana, or from the Montana area. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Today, Friday, we hit Bowman's Junction.
No, we distributed literature in Bowman, okay? Well, that's what they use slang in the Christian realm too. When they go into a city and just wallpaper it with literature, they say they hit Billings, Montana, you know, just with the literature, with the Word of God. So I'm just trying to explain what that meant, hit. It's not like the mafia where they hit somebody and, you know, it's like a, okay, then what?
We distributed the literature in Bowman's Junction, Sims, Fort Shaw, Sun River, Vaughan, and Great Falls, Montana. We had a lot of good responses in all these places, and a lot of people were glad to receive the world newsletters. In one of the small towns, we gave a newsletter to a man who said that he had gotten one on his car at the Benny Hinn Crusade last Saturday in Billings, Montana. He was witness to and wanted to get saved, and said the sinner's prayer, and was very happy. In Great Falls, we gave a newsletter to a man named Dr. Richard Jonas, who is a preacher at Mountain States Baptist College. He was very excited when he got your newsletter and said that he had gotten saved along with his sister, Rose Pachaco, at our church in California many years ago.
Well, Rose Pachaco still comes to our church. Her daughter is in the church. So this man was saved, and he's what now?
He's
a teacher?
A preacher at Mountain States Baptist College.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, there's people that have been saved in my church and all over the world now. And then what else?
He acted very convicted when he heard about how the church has grown into a worldwide soul-winning ministry, and he asked to give you and his sister and everyone his regards. We have around 10,000 newsletters left and plan to distribute some more in Great Falls in the morning, then Belt, Windham, Moccasin, and the other burgs on the way to Lewistown. After hitting these places, we plan to head south, hitting more burgs through the center of Montana with whatever newsletters we have left.
I hate using the word burgs. It should use the word small towns. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, I came from a small town. And don't minimize the small towns, because I come from a little town in Montana. I think it's the one, if not the smallest town. It's called Windham. Then I lived in Helena, Lewistown, Helena, Butte, Billings, and I live a little while in Butte, in Miles City. And so, look, we've done a worldwide work just from a little mountain boy from Montana. And, you know, you can't tell. That's why I make sure they go to all the little towns to distribute the literature, because there's people in those towns that can become extremely big, great in the Lord. I had an uncle that lived in Windham too. His name was Gordon, and he is the one that designed the first atomic sub, the Nautilus, and then he designed also the Polaris sub, the submarine that can go to Antarctica and stay under ice water for a month at a time without coming up for air. And then another one of my uncles from Windham, Montana, became one of the world's greatest artists. And he was he worked in the art department over at Columbia, motion picture studios. And then he worked over at the other studio that did the motion picture, Gone with the Wind. He did all the cloud scenes in that picture. Those were not real clouds. They were put on the screen by my Uncle Clayton. And then a lot of them became pretty good. So you can never tell. Don't minimize the people or think that we're a bunch of hicks from small towns, because some real great people that have changed the course of this world come from small towns. It seems like the people in larger towns are so busy and distracted with everything that they can never focus their mind on one thing so that they can become great. Most of the people that I've read histories on, a lot of them have come from little towns. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had more time to think there and to dream. I never thought of the Lord, though. Never. The Lord had to supernaturally come down and get me. Okay, so is that it?
Yes.
All right, let's get into now how to have God's life living in you so that he can work in you and through you. Okay?
The love of God is the motive of our consecration.
Well, yeah, we have to have a motive. But the motive that I have is the fear of the Lord. And I know that the Bible states, if I don't serve him and keep his commandments, that I will not get into heaven. And that's a very big motive. So love is the motive, because love is the keeping of God's commandments. If you don't keep God's commandments, and I'm talking about every single one of them, there's no possible way that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the new world. Now again, the first world was destroyed because of sin by water. This world that we are presently living in is going to be destroyed by fire. But there's no, the world, the new world that's coming, is sin is off limits. It's not allowed there at all. And so we must have the new birth in order to go into the new world. Amen?
Amen.
So everything has to be new. We become new creatures when we accept the new birth, when we accept God Almighty, the triune God, into our heart. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word came into the world in the flesh. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means believe the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. All right? And so my motivation is what the book of Ecclesiastes says that we must have, and that is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That fear is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear is wisdom. And so some people say, well, love. Well, love, the Bible plainly states, is the keeping of God's commandments. So there, and you're not going to keep the commandments, the Lord told Moses, unless you fear him. And so, yes, I'm motivated by love. I must love God, and I love him because I feel his spirit. And I know I've seen him. I've seen Jesus. So there isn't any of this false doctrine that can come out on television, or no one can say anything to me about this doctrine or that doctrine, because God, I've seen Christ myself with my very eyes wide open. I was wide awake, and I have heard from him on almost a steady basis. There was one time that I got very jealous because Susie had prayed somebody through, and they were clapping hands together because they were so happy. And I got so jealous because of her doing that, that the Lord told me to deny myself, deny thyself, deny thyself. And there was like I could see this ring of smoke come down upon me. It was like the Spirit. It looked like smoke. It says every time he said, deny thyself, deny thyself, deny thyself. And I just still was very angry and jealous, and the Lord, he popped my ears, and I wasn't able to hear his word, him speak to me any longer. And that was the most, it was like there was two corks came into, spiritual corks that went into my spiritual ears, and I couldn't hear his voice any longer. And that went on for years until Susie was on her deathbed, and I was praying, and I really wasn't getting the clear direction for several years. And then Susie, in a coma, raised up. She sat upright and put her hands on both of my ears. And she says, Lord, open his ears. And immediately I was hearing from the Lord again. And that was her blessing on me just before she died. And I have the hearing ears of God. And I've talked to a lot of old-timers in the gospel field, and they know that I have the hearing ears from God. And Susie said, the people that are exalted by the Vatican are so jealous of you, it's unbelievable. Because that's why they won't mention your name. She says, they'll never mention your name, even though you are feeding them the gospel. And I said, well, Sue, I really don't care. Because, you know, as long as they're preaching the things that I'm feeding them, that's all I care about. Because what's the difference? I said, if it's getting into the ears of the unsaved public, that's all I care about. because God knows where they're getting these messages from, and so that's it. And then I still hear some of them giving heresy. Now, there's some of them that are getting messages from God because I hear them. They have hearing ears as well, because every so often I know that the message that they're getting is from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not the only one. You know, God is no respecter of persons. If you'll just give your whole life over to Him, if you'll consecrate your entire life over Him, unto Him, and put yourself in His hands to say, Lord, do with me whatever you will, and you're not going to get angry about what He tells you to do, He'll give you ears to hear. That's why He says, all those that have the ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, He didn't say, okay, Tony, with your ears hear, like I'm the only one. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just telling you what I have experienced, all right? And that certainly is not a flattering thing for me to tell you, that the Lord shut my ears off because envy, jealousy, nobody can stand against that. And I was just like, you know, not listening to the Lord after He said, deny yourself, deny thyself three times in a row. And I still was just festering, just angry. And pow! My ears were stopped up immediately. And that went on for years. I could not hear. I just had to back off and let Susie do the hearing, and I had to just let her do the preaching. And I'm telling you that for your own good. Don't defy God in anything, because He'll shut your ears off. And unless there's somebody powerful around you that can lay hands on your ears and pray for you, you're never going to hear from the Lord if you are defying Him and being angry at something that when the Lord is telling you, don't be angry, okay? Thank and praise me for this brother, this man being saved right now. And you know your wife, she's not an evil bone in her body. She's as godly, the most godly woman that you'll ever meet. No one will be as godly as her, and no one knows me better than her. And I knew that. Okay, and so that's my confession for the evening. Okay, now what else?
In a holy consecration, this motive of love is, needless to say, very essential.
It's essential to keep God's commandments. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. And God, when you do, He pours out His blessings on you, His love from the throne of God. And He also lets you hear secret things from Him. Essential, very important messages for you from Him. And if you're not hearing them, you're not grieved about that you're not hearing from the Lord, then that means that you really have never lived in the presence of the Lord before. Because if you had, you would miss that so much. I missed it very much, and I just kept wondering, what am I supposed to do? And I was always the person that never honored women that much, because to me, I thought that all women were, excuse the term, were pigs. I saw so many piggish women in the world. They didn't have any fear of God. They just were only looking for, I'll just use a very tame word, they're looking for romance. More than romance, and you all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. And they just had no morals, no scruples, and they're nothing to be desired at all, whatsoever. Now, when I found Sue, that was a completely different story. And so I knew that she was different. I saw the way that the Lord talked to her. And when she'd pray, I could just feel that I was right up in the presence of the Lord with her. I learned to pray from Sue. I would, when she'd go up to the throne, I'd go right up there with her. She'd pray and pray and say, oh God, Heavenly Father, Lord, Father God, hallelujah, you know, and she'd be right up at the throne. And I never really ever felt that before in my entire life. I felt the Spirit of God when He came down upon me. And I was very full of the Spirit of the Lord, and we would get up there together. But she was the one that first taught me how to pray. And that was extremely important, because if we don't pray to the Lord, if we don't ask Him for things, and if we don't
do the things that he tells us to do, that means that we're sowing mercy. And if we don't sow mercy, we're not going to receive mercy. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord has called us to be sowers of mercy, to sow the seed of the Word of God to other people. That's what I'm doing right now. And I love to tell the experiences that the Lord, when the Lord moves on me to tell these different experiences that I've had with him. And now I hear from the Lord. And now you hear from the Lord through me. Okay? And then once I'm sure you listen to other people that you hear from the Lord. And you hear from the Lord when you're reading his word. All right, now where are we at?
Consecration rests only on the basis of ownership.
The reason or the basis. Basis means the same as reason. The reason that we consecrate unto the Lord is because he bought us with his blood. And if that isn't a good enough reason for you to give yourself unto him, well then, you know, what would you want from God? He gave his life for you in a piece of flesh. Okay, that's the reason or the basis that we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. Then what?
Consecration rests only on the basis of ownership, the realization of God's right to us.
Right. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple or the house, the home of God, and that you don't belong to yourself. If you're the home of God, then he and he alone is the one to live in you. And he alone is the only one to tell you what to do. You're not to just impulsively just take off and do whatever you want to do during the day. And you're not to be like impetuous and do whatever you want. I went to town today. I asked the Lord, okay, you want me to go to town today? Is it okay for me to go to town today? And he said, yes. So I went. But many days he tells me, no, you stay in the house and do what I want. This you do, you study today. Okay, and so what else?
This consecration will only be based on the reason for consecration.
And the reason or the basis is that he purchased us. We belong to him. When something belongs to you, that's it. Then what else?
What it lacks is the actual sweetness of the Lord, the sweetness towards us, the great rushings of water toward us, and the intensity that this great rushing of loving water is to us.
Why? Because you don't realize it doesn't impact most people. I know, say the Lord died for you, they go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. In other words, like that was nothing. The reason that you spoke, that isn't reason enough for me to give myself to the Lord, to just because he caused me to not have to go to hell in the lake of fire. That's no reason. I don't have to go to hell now. I don't really believe there's a hell or a lake of fire anyway. You're going to find out. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord says that the old world was destroyed by water. The new, this present world is going to be destroyed by fire, and there's a new world. A new world that's coming, wherein there shall be no sin enter in, but only in that world will be righteousness. And so if you think that, and if you're not in that world, you're going to be screaming your head off forever in the lake of fire. Read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and a little bit of verse 4.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way.
He says you're pure minds. So this is talking to saved, born-again people. This is not talking to the sinner out there, because you don't have a pure mind. And there's a lot of people that are sitting in churches that don't have pure minds either. There's people that are sitting in churches that are filthy. They've got lying tongues. Their brains are totally corrupt, and they never read the word enough to purify their minds. Okay, then what?
In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying,
people that are sitting in churches, and all the time they're sitting there, they're looking or glancing at somebody, lusting after somebody in the church,
or they can't even go outside the door without lusting after somebody that they see walking down the street. Their eyes are so quick to just follow them. They think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And then they, when they're seen doing that, and you try to warn them, they say, I didn't do that. You can see them doing it. These are the type of people that you can probably catch them in the act, and they deny it. Okay, then what?
And saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Yeah, where's the new world? We're still living in this present world, and it's getting worse all the time. They're talking about a new world order. This is not a new world order. All the things that are going on in this world today went on. There's homosexuality back in the old days. You read in the Bible where the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and that there was these homosexuals that even had tried to have filthy sex with the Lord himself, the angels. And so there's nothing different today. I mean, they do the same thing if the Lord came down to earth right now, or they tried to have sexual relationships with holy men of God. These people are the most corrupt, and they deserve, unless they repent, and they usually, see, devils can't repent. They deserve to spend eternity burning forever. God is not an unjust God. He's going to burn. And they deserve it. Okay, then what?
Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
Well, keep going.
Okay. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But
the first world perished, okay?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Then what?
But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
But continue on. Okay, but there's a new world coming. Amen?
Amen.
This is not a new world. This is the world that's reserved for fire, where sin is. The new world, it has no sin in it. Sin is not to be there at all. Sin cannot be there. It's forbidden. It's walled off from there. Then what else?
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness.
See, now promise. Now, if the Lord promised that he was going to send a Savior to this world, and he didn't break his promise because his son came into this world and he said he was going to die for us. Amen?
Amen.
And the book of Isaiah says that he's going to be cut off, killed for the sins of the world. Now, if God was going to break any promise, I would say if I was God, that would be the one that I would break, right? Because I wouldn't want my son to die for a filthy you. So if I was God, I would not allow my son, that I love very much, to die for you. Not for you at all. So, but God did not break that promise. God did send his son into this world, and he let him go to the cross. He let the dirty, filthy sinners rip his beard out and beat him into insensibility, smashing his body to where you couldn't even tell it was a human body. That's why I don't like these motion pictures, because they got him hanging so pretty on the cross. He looked like a piece of a butchered meat on that cross. He was bleeding from the top of his head to his feet. And so, now, God never broke his promise. He did send him into this world so that he would die for us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if I was God, I'd have broken that promise if I was going to break any of them. So I could say that if God didn't break that promise, you can believe that he's not going to break any of these other promises. And the promise is that he's going to turn this world into an inferno. It's going to be purged, and every filthy person that never repented, that wants to just go and mock God and scoff at God, you're going to burn. And he promises that. And God does not break his promises.
Now, he's going to burn the old heaven up and this old earth. This is no new world order. This is a dirty, filthy, scummiest time in history. These last 2,000 years since the time that Christ was butchered and put on that cross, and how the people of this world have gotten so evil that they're trying to butcher the Word of God and come in with this Da Vinci stinking code and all this other stuff. I won't even read it. Whenever I hear any supposed to be preacher talking about it, I turn it off. I would rather watch Lassie than to watch these people exalting or even giving a platform for Satan to preach this dirty, filthy lies about Judas being a good man and Jesus being a con artist and talking to Jesus on the QT and telling him, hey, I want you to do this. And the Bible says that Judas was a devil. Amen?
Amen.
And that he's in hell right now.
Amen.
So don't you false teachers out there, there's one preacher, there's me on this earth now. God is in me. And that he married Mary Magdalene. Anybody that wants to believe that filth, turn it off when you hear people talking like that. Don't let Satan dump that garbage into your ears. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, read the last sentence again.
The Lord is not slack concerning his
promise. His promise! Okay? God was not slack. He allowed his son to be killed for you and I and everybody else in this world. And people have denied that. They don't want that blessing. So they pay no attention, and now they're taking the Word of God out of everywhere that they can, so that people can't read and hear how wonderful God is and know him. Okay, then what? So he's not slacking his promise. He's given everybody an opportunity in this world to believe on him, his son, the Word of God, and they just keep coming on. They just keep on keeping on with their dirty, filthy lies. Okay? And so God is not slack. He said he was going to destroy the world with water, and he did. Amen?
Amen.
He wasn't slack in that either, was he?
No.
And he said he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And did he?
Yes.
Yes. And the Lord says that all the Hebrew people, except two of them, were not going to be able to... all the Hebrew people were going to die. Did they?
Yes.
He said he was going to deliver him out of Egypt, did he?
Yes.
That's history. Amen?
Amen.
And these words were years before it ever happened. The entire Old Testament is about Jesus, the Lamb of God, that they had to put on the doorpost in Egypt in order to get out of there, in order for God to deliver him. And all the plagues that God poured out on Egypt are history. They're in the history books. I mean, in Egypt, you can go there and see. All right, so God is not slack in his promise, and then what?
As some men count slackness.
As some people count slackness, all right? And the Bible says that we would be able to tell when the end time would come, because us Jews would be preaching to you Gentiles. There'd be 144,000 of us Jews talking to you Gentiles some of you don't ever pay any attention to the Word of God. The Bible says, believe on the Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You believe the Word of God? If you don't, you're in trouble. Okay, then what?
But is long-suffering to usward, not...
Yeah, he's letting you, he's just sending his preachers out to tell you he's long-suffering because he doesn't really want anybody to perish. But because you ignore the Word, and you, in other words, his son, and you ignore his Word, which is the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God is God. So when you're opening the Word of God, you're actually reading, you're looking at God, you're learning of God, and you'll feel the Spirit of God when you're reading the Bible, when you're saved. Okay? Then what?
Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
See, right there. And this is a promise, right?
Yes.
He says he's not slack in his promise.
Amen.
Okay, so he's promising it. So he's giving you a space of time. And right now is the time of salvation, because this is the time that the Lord has given me this message to preach.
And he says, now is the moment of salvation. Okay, now he promises. He promised the first world is going to be flooded, the old world, and now this present world, and then there's a new world coming. The bird flu's coming. Now man is promising you that, but I believe the new world is coming more than the bird flu. Amen?
Amen.
Because I believe God over man. Then what?
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Even the dirt is going to melt on this earth in the heavens. Okay, then what?
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth...
A new heaven. There's a new world. Amen?
Amen.
A new world's to come. Okay, now let's keep going.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
That wherein only there's no sin. Sin is off limits. Amen?
Amen.
You, if you're a sinner, you better repent. Okay, because... You're not, there is not one sin, not one shot, one blemish. Don't tell one lie, because you will not be in heaven. Okay? And anything that maketh a lie shall not be in the kingdom of God. All right? Then what?
Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to
the long-suffering of the Lord is the power of God. That's salvation. The power of God is salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, because it's the power of God unto salvation. So the power of God is salvation. Amen?
Amen.
The power of the word of God is salvation. That isn't a rhyme or a nursery rhyme. The power of God is salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Well, because there's no other power on earth that can save your soul. Now, only Jesus said, I am the life, and I am the resurrection. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty God. And I am the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And the whole Bible says that. Read my book entitled The Messiah. It tells you of 333 prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nobody else has even come close, not even a millionth close, as Jesus. The Bible tells us the exact day that the Messiah would be born, the Savior of the world, and the exact day that he would die. And it said that he would be on a cross, nail-pierced hands, feet, and that he'd be pierced in the side and sold for 30 pieces of silver. And it goes on and on and on and on. Absolute proof. Christ was born on the exact day that the Bible says. And he died on the exact day that the Bible says. And he died in the exact manner that the Bible says that the Messiah would die. And he fulfilled all the prophecies. And the angels came down and people saw, and multitudes of people saw him ascending into the kingdom of heaven after he rose from the dead in hell. I mean, you must be crazy if you don't read the Bible, because you need to prepare your heart for eternity. You need to prepare yourself for eternity. People are preparing themselves for some career on the face of this earth. They go to universities, and then when they're getting their graduation, guy walks across the street with his diploma and gets hit by a bus, and what good is it? Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, the Bible says to serve the Lord while in your youth, while you're young. And forget about all this carnal teaching down here on earth. This natural teaching. Put supernatural to your teaching. Amen?
Amen.
Read the Bible and live in the Word of God, and you'll know because of the Spirit that every word in the Bible is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. God is going to keep this promise. He promises if we don't know him that we shall not spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And you can know him right now. You can invite the Spirit of God, that you can have the new birth right now. This will be getting you ready for the new world that's a-coming. Amen?
Amen.
Because this old world here is going to be burnt up, and it's going to happen real soon. Okay, a lot of people think that it'll be done by atomic energy, but the Lord is going to destroy this earth and the heavens. Man is not going to destroy the heavens. God's doing that. He just has to say one word. We were made out of atoms, and he can ignite
you just like a tinder box that's lit up. So let's get ready. I want you to get ready for the Lord. I want you to accept the new birth. I want you to become a new creature. And God wants this more than I do. He wanted it so bad that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on the entire word of God shall be saved. Don't believe any of the world teachings. Be saved now by saying that, say this prayer to the Lord and mean it with all your heart. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. You promise that everyone, it's your promise. It's your promise. You promised to send your Son, you did. And it's your promise that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've never broken a promise and you never will. You're God, the Holy Word of God. Therefore, I know that you've heard me. And I know that you've answered me. And I know I'm saved. Because you promised that I am. Therefore, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands up and say, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And keep on praising the Lord. And keep on reading the Word of God. And keep on consecrating yourself unto the Lord. God's life must remain in you now until you give up your soul. Now, Sharon, tell everyone how to receive a copy of program number 187, and please indicate whether you want a CD or a tape, a audio tape, that is, and postage and packaging is absolutely free as well. Okay, go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Now, be sure to tune in tomorrow because God is going to give another message. And you don't want to give up hearing from the Lord. You don't want to suffer the same way I did, where I couldn't hear the Lord for several years. As long as the Lord's word is nigh, listen. Okay, tomorrow will be part 86. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and I thank and praise the Lord for saving your soul. Amen.